Blog Talk Radio.
Sugar with Faith-Based Purpose. Today we have Reverend Roosevelt Williams who will be speaking with us, and I will let him share with you the topic that he will be speaking on. Good afternoon, Reverend Roosevelt. How are you?
All right. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Hot day, busy day.
Well, yeah. But that's all right. But it was a day.
Yes,
we were still here.
Amen. Amen with that.
All right. Now, are you going to give us a prayer this evening, or are we going to start on the lesson?
Okay, let's have a quick word of prayer. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, we come this evening. Say, first off, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your tender care and your loving kindness. Thank you for just watching over us from our last night's lying down to our early morning rising and getting us through the portion of this day. and rendering to us the portion of health and strength and the activities of our limbs. Thank you, O God, for everyone who is listening. Thank you for all those who are moving about this here planet. Thank you for grace and mercy. Now, Father, asking right now that you elevate our minds, our hearts. Father, that you regulate us, that we may hear the word, understand the word, and Lord, that we share with somebody who don't even know. And let our life expound, as the song says, that you want to see the Jesus in us. So let our light shine, that you may be able to shine, that someone else can be able to come to the love of Christ. We thank you. Let this be a blessing. We thank you for Patricia, Minister Patricia Williams, who is not with us, that you bless her in her endeavors. Then, Lord, asking right now, you bless Sister Sugar and all the radio listeners. Father, let you be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Yes.
Oh, good evening to you, sisters. You're doing all right?
Doing great. Just doing absolutely wonderful. I tell you, I felt like a little kid yesterday. I got to see my brother, who I had not seen in over 12 years. And I was just running around like a little kid. He's in Texas, and I was waiting for him to call me to tell me where he was so I could go and see him. And I got a chance to see him, and I'm just thrilled. I am just so happy.
That's great. How is he doing?
He's doing wonderful. Wonderfully blessed.
That's good. Can you tell him which brother that is?
That's Pastor Frank Cheney.
Amen. Pastor Frank Cheney. Amen. Amen. Hadn't seen him in a long time, but I thank God for him. Amen. So without further ado, and not prolonging the time, we're going to try to move quickly in our lesson. And our talk is going to talk about fasting and praying. I know we had some shows that we talked about what is fasting, how prayer should be, but we're going to combine it talking about fasting and praying. And it comes from our past Sunday school lesson that we had some Sundays ago at our church. And as me and Minister Williams was discussing throughout the weekend, we brought it up over the air talking about Ezra and Nehemiah. And I know a lot of people some folks look at the Old Testament as a book that is really hard to understand. And when we look at it, it is sort of like Greek. But if we stop to really research and look at what we're reading, then everything will fall into place. And I thank God for how he has blessed me to see some of the things in our lesson with Ezra. Are you there? Hello?
Oh, yes. Just go ahead with the lesson. We're here.
Okay.
Just continue with the lesson.
I got a cuckoo phone here, and it line it cut off.
Just go on with the lesson. We're here.
All right. So we're going to talk about fasting and praying. And our lesson comes from the book of Ezra, for those who has a Bible. And you can use any version you want, because I'm going to be working with two versions, King James and the NIV. And so our main verse is going to be chapter 8, verse 23. But the verses we're going to work with is chapter 7, 6 through 10, chapter 8, 21 through 23. And the main verse says, "So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer." And this comes out of Ezra 8 and 23 out of the NIV. Okay? And so when you look at the King James, it says, "So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." Amen. So the thing is, God wants us to understand that a lot of times there are things that goes on in our lives and we should fast. And what is fasting? Fasting is only abstaining from the Bible of the theologians of the Bible. The Bible dictionary says from foods. But in our times, we fast and sustain ourselves for more than just foods. Some folks fast from the TV. They fast from other activities. In other words, giving all their time to the Lord, meditating upon. The Bible says, though we meditate day and night. And then when you talk about prayer, the Bible tells us that a man ought to always pray. We should always pray no matter what it is. So when we look at our lesson, if you're looking in the King James or in the NIV, we're going to work with Ezra 7, 6 through 10 first. And in our lesson, it says the first thing, it talks about this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. That's in the NIV now. And so, and then it says the king had granted him everything he asked for. The hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. And so let's look at those first two verses of our lesson of 7 and 6 and understanding that here you have Israel. It says that this Israel who came from Babylon. Now, in this section, understanding it is not in chronological order. This is Ezra and them. They have already left out of Babylon. They're in Jerusalem.
Okay.
But he is giving a lesson on this part of this is that they are in Jerusalem. They made it to Jerusalem. But he is giving how God began to perform with Ezra and the Israelites. And here, Israel, the Bible says, this Israel came up from Babylon. He was a teacher. And the King James, if anybody has the King James, is going to say that Israel, this Israel went up from Babylon and he was a ready scribe. In other words, he was a skilled scribe.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about it is that Israel is getting ready to lead a multitude of people. And what God wants us to understand is that in our daily lives, we should always fast and pray. Because why? Is that when you are going to lead, or when there are leaders, a lot of people just take on a task and we don't even know none of their credentials or their background or who they are. Pastors come in. In today's time, if you know it or not, there are many pastors that have degrees that they paid for. They didn't go to school. They bought them. Just a certificate. And they can get them online. Now, you would say, who would do that? Anybody that's so greedy that they want a church. But the one thing about it with Ezra is that Ezra, before he leaves the people, Ezra, first off, gives us his credentials, his qualification. When you look at chapter 7, verse 1, he begins to give his qualifications of who he was. Why it is that God has picked him.
Excuse me, Reverend Williams, would like to ask you to do me a favor. Every so often while you're speaking, if you would refresh the listeners, because if we have new listeners that come on, just kind of remind them where you're coming from.
Okay,
what book
that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, just let me know when some new ones come on. I'll be glad to. We're
just
coming out
do
of
it,
the book of
so I won't have to keep interrupting you.
Okay, to all the new listeners, we're coming in out of the book of Ezra, chapter 7, beginning with verses 6 through 10, and then we're going to come finish up with chapter 8. Beginning with verses, in chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. And we're talking about fasting and praying. And our main topic is in chapter 8, verse 23, when it talks about Israel fasted and they prayed. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. That's in the King James, and in the NIV it says, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. So, as I was saying, in fasting and praying, fasting is only sustaining yourself from foods. But in our time, a lot of folks sustain themselves not for just foods, but they sustain themselves from the TV, from other activities that can hinder them from seeking God. Then pray. The Bible tells us we ought to always pray. So looking at Ezra, who was, the Bible says in verses 6 of chapter 7, in verses 6, it says that Ezra went up from Babylon and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. And the NIV is going to say he was a teacher. Same thing. The one thing is, a ready scribe is that it says Ezra was skilled, because Ezra is about to begin to lead a multitude of people from Babylon to Jerusalem. And ask yourself, would you just follow anybody you don't know nothing about? And when you look at chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, all the way from 1 to 5, it gives Ezra's credentials of his family history, that he was a priest. He came, his father was a priest. Not only was he a scribe, he was a priest. He came from a priestly lineage. So he was skilled in the law of God, and he was he was a teacher. So be able to be skilled and to be a teacher, somebody had to teach him. So Ezra, who you look at, you find that his father was he was the son of Zerahiah, who was the son of Azariah and Hilkiah. All these people were his lineage. And some of them, his father mostly, they all taught him, but also he was a study. He was a scribe. He was a study, a writer, a secretary, as you would say. And so Ezra devoted his time to the word of God, because the Bible tells us over in the book of Timothy, it says to be able to teach, one must be apt to teach. Okay? The Bible says over in 2 Timothy verses 24, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. In other words, he must not be one that always want to cause strife and argue, but be gentle unto all men. And the word says apt to teach. He had the ability to teach. And not only that, the Bible tells us also study to show thyself approved. And the one thing you want to do is always fast and pray and ask God to give you the mind to be able to teach, to be able to share his word, because a lot of people want to start teaching but don't have the equivalence to do so. So moving on, here we find that Ezra begins to lead the people, and it says that he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. He was knowledgeable, and many of us, we should always be knowledgeable in the word of God. And the thing is, we have so many tools in our lives. They only had the scrolls. They only had Torah, and they had to read all that. And only one person would read it, and that was the priest. That was Ezra. And when you look at the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll find that Ezra was the only one that was doing the reading and the preaching in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the governor, but Ezra was the preacher, teaching the word of God. And so the thing is that we should always make ourselves known in skilling ourselves into learning the word of God. Yes, we can quote, study to show thyself approved. And I hear some folks say, I live by the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost give us some sense to go to school, to sit down and read books. We have so much stuff today that God has made available for us to understand what happened in that time and what God's word is telling us. So we should be skillful to understand when somebody's trying to give us some mumbo jumbo on how we should live our Christian life, that the word of God speaks to us, and you should study to know and not let somebody just come and tell you anything. So here we find that Ezra shows his qualification on why he has the ability to lead God's people. And so here, not only that, it says that he was a study of the law, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests, fasting and praying, because he had to go to King Xerxes. When you look at that word in the Bible that's going to say A-R-T-A-X-E-R-X-E-S, that's King Xerxes, who was not a Babylonian king. He was a Persian king. So understanding that the children of Israel went into captivity into Babylon, But now that Xerxes' father, grandfather, Cyrus, who went and defeated the Babylonians, now they are under rule over the Persians, under the Persians. So here, they're not in Persia. They're still in Babylon. But they come under the king who is of Xerxes. And so they go to Xerxes, and Xerxes granted him. Why did he grant it to him? Because a lot of us, we want things. And the Bible tells us to make your request be made known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. We have not because we ask not. And a lot of times we want things from God, but we don't go to God in order that he may grant it to us. And
okay.
The thing is that
I would like to take a little short, a brief break right here and play a commercial from our sponsor and also play a song for the listeners.
All right.
Okay. And you can get right back to the topic as soon as we do this.
All right.
The Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013, featuring four of the biggest female gospel artists in the industry, like Pastor Shirley Caesar, Tamala Mann, Sunday's Best Leandra Johnson, Kathy Taylor, and Faber, and hosted by Pastor Kim Burrell, Saturday, September 14th at Friendship West Baptist Church, 2020 West Wheatland Road in Dallas. Get your tickets now at Friendship West Baptist Church. Call them at 972-228-5200 and Chase Spivey Productions.
And it said, something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name that I know. I love that. Oh,
how I love the name Jesus.
Wave your hand if you love it.
Name
sweet name, yeah.
It's the sweetest name
I know.
I know.
Look here. Some people say I'm crazy, but just to me, I can't explain the power that I feel, yeah. When I call your name.
Open
your mouth and give him some fruit from your lips. alone. I got some more news for you. At the name of Jesus, every knee is gonna have to bow. You don't have to wait till the fire comes. Show me what you're working with. You can clap your hands. Praise him now. Get loud up in here.
Oh,
come on, let me hear you get loud up in here.
Oh, how I love.
Let me hear you have some church up in here.
Thank you for allowing us a little break, Reverend Williams, and we will now let you get back to your message.
Amen. As I was saying, I'm gonna pick up where I left off. The Bible says, "Let your requests be made known unto God." In other words, Israel said, the Bible says that. It says the king had granted him everything he had asked for. And when you look at it, it's going to say, and the hand of the Lord was on him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we want to make a move and do stuff and hadn't even went to God to see if that's what we need to be doing.
Okay.
Just because it looks good, it sounds good, just because it feels good. You know, like we were talking about, Sister Sugar, about when we get ready to get married, when we get ready to date, if we get ready to go get a job, if we get ready to leave a job, if we're going to have a child, whatever the case may be, we should always go to God, seek God. And so the Bible says, first off, in chapter 4 of Philippians, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
Mm-hmm.
In prayer and supplication, we should always pray and go to God and ask him, not just getting on our knees, you see. A lot of times we get ourselves in trouble because we never go to God to inquire if that's something that we should do or shouldn't do. Children of God should always go to God and ask. Because just because it feels good to you, just because it came your way, doesn't always mean that God put it there. He allowed it to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find out that it ain't, if when you find out everything is wrong with it, it's because you didn't go to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and why did the king grant Ezra everything he wanted? It said the hand of the Lord was on Ezra, not on the king. And so the thing is that a lot of times how you go to people, I was telling them in our Sunday school lesson, that was Pick on Women Day, and I was telling them is that you are not going to get nothing out of a woman if you go talking crazy to her. Am I wrong? Am I right, Sister Sugar?
You're probably right. I'm going to have to put an amen on that one.
I know I'm right. You ain't getting, it's just like with a woman. and you can't go up there hollering, baby, because they ain't going to buy that. They going to ask you, what did you do or what you want? But it's how you come to them in a way of, do you mind if you don't mind? Mm-hmm. Because when Ezra went to the king, understand, when you go, if you read the book of Nehemiah, you'll find that Nehemiah, when he went to the king, he began to say, this is what he said, and I say unto thee, king, if it please the king, if thou servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, into the city of my father. Xerxes always wanted people to praise him. Now remember, they didn't call him higher than God. They just said, oh, great king, because that's what he was, the king. If it please thee. You see, the difference between Moses and Ezra was that Moses had to go tell Pharaoh what God said, let my people go. But now with Ezra, he couldn't know that the Lord said, let us go. He would have killed him right then and there. But the thing is how we go to people. That's why Jesus said, give no thought to what you don't say. The Holy Ghost will give you if you pray about it, if you seek God. Even Daniel. Daniel sought God when he was in Babylon captivity on behalf of his friend, because the king asked about a dream and going to kill everybody. So Daniel had to ask, go to God, and God showed him the dream, which saved everybody. And so the thing is that the king granted it because how he went to him. And you have to pray, because even Esther says the same thing. You have to pray and you have to ask God to grant you, that he grant you favor. And when you go to somebody, you don't go to somebody talking crazy. You ain't never getting nothing. It's how you come to people, how you talk to people. If you want a raise on your job, if you want something from somebody, go cussing at some. Let me put it like this, sister Sugar. I say again, pick on women's time, is that let a man come cussing at you talking about what he wants, what you going to do.
Well, he's not going to be cussing at me for too long in the first place. But he's telling me what he want or telling me what he don't want. We're not going to have that conversation for long.
Amen. Thank you. And so that let you know it ain't going to happen. You go talking crazy to somebody. But Ezra had to talk to the man the same way that Nehemiah them had too, because they had to understand. God wants us to understand. If you're going to love him, you're going to respect him. Respect the authority that he had put over you. Respect those who are in authority places. You might not like Obama. You may like Obama. You might not like George Bush. You may like George Bush. You may not like it Abraham Lincoln. Maybe some of you like it. You may not like the mayor of the city of Houston. But maybe you do like the mayor of the city of Houston. You may like the governor in your state. Maybe you don't. But guess what? They're in a leadership position that when you go to them, you go to them with respect. Because why? If you were in a leadership respect, in a leadership position, you would want
that same respect.
Amen. That's beautiful, Sister Sugar. And so here, the Lord, the hands, when you come, and not only that, when you come humbly, you see, and Ezra went to God, and the hand of, when God's hand is on you, he going to give you what to say and how to say. And it moved. And so the king did what? Granted all his requests, everything he requests for. And when you look at verse 7, then there went, and then not only that, understanding is that a lot of people are not willing to leave. Don't knock the people that stayed. But it says, and there went up some of the children of Israel, this is verse 7, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims. The Nethinims were the slaves of the Israelites.
Okay.
They were their concubines of theirs back then, before they went into captivity, and deported and Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Xerxes the king. Okay? And so it was in the 7th year of King Xerxes. Understanding is that how many of us go on a trip? How many of us went on a trip or got ready to go somewhere and we just jump up and went soon as it was time to go? You know, a lot of people jump up and do something and don't even think about what type of season, what is this. Want to go on a cruise. You know, everybody want to go in the month of July. Me, I don't want to go in the month of July. Too many people. I picked September and October. Cause, well, guess what? All them children going back to school, everybody got a 10 of that children. So the thing is that Ezra just picked the right time of month. Understand that the king granted to them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody didn't, everybody, all the Israelites didn't go. Some of them stayed, but the king said, if you read through 11, in verses 11 all the way through, you'll find that King Xerxes says to all those who desire to go,
mm-hmm.
he's telling them, if you desire to go, you can go. Mm-hmm. If you don't, that's fine. And so there were those who desired to go, and then there are those who didn't decide to go back to or didn't go to Jerusalem, because most of the ones that that didn't, they were born in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't know nothing about Jerusalem, but the parents did, or their great-grandfathers or great-great-grandfathers or whoever. But they probably say, well, y'all go and, like some folks, well, y'all go and see how everything is, and you want to see how I get everything ready, we'll come along. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's just that sometimes you got to use your mind wise.
Right.
Ezra was a skilled person who used his mind wisely, because just like when we go on a trip, Ezra them, when we get to chapter 8, you're going to see that Ezra just didn't do anything. Ezra took his time before they got ready to leave. He just went to the king and asked for his permission to go.
Mm-hmm.
The king granted it to him. But not only that, the king also sent a letter. He didn't send guards with him, but the king sent a letter. And if the king sent a letter and a decree, and whoever broke that decree went up against Israel, you were in trouble. So the thing is that God always, when they say the hand of God is on it, he always got you guarded and covered if you move at the precise time. Ezra and them picked a journey that was around about April, because that was dry. That was a dry season. You see, if you go in July, what's around about June and July? What's happening around about then, close to there in our side of the world? Hurricanes. Okay? Anybody mm-hmm. on the East Coast, or anybody out there close to Atlantic or Pacific or whatever, Caribbean, sometimes it's that hurricane season.
Right.
You have to know what time to pick out. Not only that, Ezra had to plan out what direction they was going to go. He was going to be a leader. So you pray to God that you pick a leader that knows which way. Even as you as a leader, you have to pray to God that he give you the direction, give you instruction. Because mm-hmm. when you go on a cruise, the cruise line, one thing I love about the cruise line, they may have some little glitches, folks might get stuck or whatever. But the one thing they always do, Sister Sugar, I hope you don't get mad at me. But yesterday mm-hmm. you said you went to this car shop and you asked the man, where my car is going to be at? The man said, didn't want to tell you. That ain't no way to work nothing. But when you go on the cruise line, they always going, they going, before you even, they going to send you an itinerary before the whole month begins. Before the time, about 2 or 3 months before the time starts, they going to send you your luggage tags. They going to send you everything you need and they're going to give you an itinerary on what's going to be taking place. So you know they're getting ready to drag you off to No Island and pillage you. You know where they're going, how long they're going to be, how when the next move going to be, all the way up to the time for you to come back to your destination. So here Ezra took the time to pray, to fast, and to seek God because he needed God's protection and to move at the precise time. And that's what we need in our lives, to move at the precise time and asking God to direct us and guide us as we go along, thinking everything out. Well, then, some of us go get married, and then when you get in the middle of the marriage, you're mad at it because it ain't going your way. Because you didn't seek God. You see? And so, not only that, it says in the seventh month, in the seventh year, and they came in verse 9, it says, and in verse 9, it says, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Amen? And so then you find that it said, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart, preparing our heart, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel status in judgment. Ezra was not just trying to go on a trip. You see, Ezra had a whole plan of doing God's work, of restoring the people back to God, because he found out of his studies they had fell from grace. So he's teaching them how to fall back into grace. When we get to, now understanding, in this part, they have already reached Jerusalem. But when you get to, and I'm almost through, believe me, when you get to chapter 8, here they're getting ready to leave Babylon. They have already left Babylon. They're in Jerusalem now. So he's just recapping on how they got there because the hand of the Lord. When you fast and pray, when you seek God, and the one thing our verse says, okay, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I ain't going to do it. But that's all right. It's okay. We're going to teach this thing anyway. Okay. So when you go to chapter 8, looking at
now, before
eight,
you go to chapter 8, if you don't mind, I want to bring someone else on just for a minute. Now, I just want you to stay right there. Is that okay?
Okay.
Is that going to take you off track?
No. No.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make good time and
oh, you all right. The time is okay. Time
right.
is just fine. Minister
okay.
Jordan, how are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm doing well, Ms. Sugar. Good evening to all of the message line.
Tonight. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Jordan?
How you doing, Reverend Williams? I hear you.
I'm doing fine.
Hey, I hear you.
Amen. Thank God. All right. If you want to share something, you're welcome to step in and share a question, whatever, Minister. I don't
well,
mind.
Minister Jordan always has a word in him, so I just wanted to bring him in for a minute because I know he's not going to be able to be with us long.
Okay. All righty.
Well,
okay.
I just want to thank God again for, for another day. And thank you, Ms. Sugar, for allowing me to come on for a hot second. Yeah, I am in between doing some other things here. But I just kind of want to just say something kind of briefly, and maybe the next time I can, get this across. I want to pose a question to you, and I'm going to base this out of John 7:36. The question is today, how is your water system? Is the water in your water system, is it clean? Is it dirty? Is it cloudy? What is the status of your water system? And if your water system is running perfectly, why can't we share that water with others?
Okay.
So.
Now, can you repeat that again, Minister? Repeat that again.
Can you repeat that question again? What is the status of your water system? Water, W-A-T-E-R. What is the status of your water system? Is it cloudy? Is it clean? Is it dirty? What is it? Does it have too much chlorine in it? Because we have chlorine water here in Florida. So the question is, if your water system is all right and it's able to flow that living water, as Christ said, that we apply that, we live according to the scriptures, out of our bellies we flow. I don't want to give it away because I want to save this when I've been working on this message. So if our water system is good or up to par, why can't we share that water with others?
Amen. Amen. That sounds like a good one. Amen. That's a good thought.
Now you said that was John 7?
7:36.
7:36. That's what I thought you said.
Okay. That sounds like a good lesson you can teach us on, man. Reverend, be looking forward to hear that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to thank Ms. Sugar, and God bless everyone on the line. And Reverend Williams, you can continue. I'm going to continue listening before I have to sign in and do my other thing. So God bless
everyone.
Well,
now, before you go, Reverend Williams, do you have a thought on that? Now, John 7:36. What I'm reading says, I'm reading from King James, what manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me, and ye shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Is that where we're coming from?
Hold on, Mr. I might have went ahead of myself. Hold on.
Okay, because that's John 7:36.
John 7:36.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading from John 36.
What manner of saying in is this?
Yeah, that's what I just read. He's checking to see if that's the person he's looking for. That may not be the one he was looking for.
Find me, and where I am, find me.
Okay, wait, Reverend Williams, hold on. He's telling you where he's trying to go.
It was 7:38. I'm sorry. He that believeth on me. As Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, I get ready to answer that real quick. But, yeah, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Right. And the New James Version said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So that pretty much answers itself. There is no reason why you would not share your water with someone else unless you do not believe in Christ.
Where I was going with that is, it's pretty much on the evangelist. I can take a couple minutes to expound on that.
Okay.
Basically, where I'm at and where I'm getting, I have to apologize for, misquoting the verse. I got some other things on my mind. Where I'm going is that is we believe on Christ. You know, he says, I am I am the living water. You know, we need water to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Human water. Okay? Now we talk about spiritual water. Okay? Sometimes, as it says, In the Bible says we have to self-examine ourselves. And I'm taking this on the basis of an evangelist's tip as far as witnessing for Christ and going out and saving souls. So if we examine ourselves and we know our water system is good, we know others, like now it's hot, summer months right now, especially here in Florida, everybody needs water to be hydrated. But there's people out there that's looking for that living water that needs to be hydrated. So if our water system is good, or so we think, don't you feel that as the bodies of living water is flowing through us, that we need to share that? that water with us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know,
yeah.
So if Christ is flowing within us, or as our blood is pumping, you know, and the blood is pumping well, and the water system is going good, and then we sitting here sitting on a finely tuned machine, but then it mm-hmm. also said in the word that we need to go out and compel men to come and go out and preach the gospel. So why are we sitting on all the goods where other people need? Okay, all right, you know where I'm going with that.
Okay. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Well, you gave us enough of it for us to have that understanding. But after you teach it where you, because you say you're preparing it for somewhere else or for another lesson or something. After that, then you're gonna come back and you're gonna give us the full lesson.
Oh yeah, I'm gladly. I definitely will.
All right, we'll be expecting
Amen.
To do that. That's gonna be a good discussion.
All right. God bless you there, Minister. Amen.
All right. And thank you for that.
I sure get ready to get my answer for the first one you asked. He answered the second question real well because it says, if a man thirsts, and over in Revelation, he said that he who is thirst,
mm-hmm.
he who is a thirst, mm-hmm. let him come. I say come. And so in other words, to be thirsty is to have a desire. And so a person that is a thirst, that means he's dehydrated, he's dying. Just like a person in the desert. If he don't have no water, he's dying. And so he says, I am living water. Just as he went to the woman at the well and said, give me the drink. And so Jesus let me know that he is living water. But we should
mm-hmm.
also be sharing that cup, that glass, that bucket to somebody, that bottle. Not a bottle of wine, not about a can of beer, but some water that they can drink of, you know, and that
Amen.
They can feel their thirst. There are some folks out there that's on drugs and don't know how to get off, but they have a thirst to get off of, but don't know how to do it. They need somebody to come along to give them a drink of Jesus. And they need a word from God. So, he is the living water that flows. And as you said, Reverend, it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. See, because Jesus says he is that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is letting you know that you have to have a spirit to want to be able to drink from that which he had to drink from, that bitter cup.
Mm-hmm.
See, to thirst for Jesus is to go through all he went through, to deal
mm-hmm.
with the suffering he had to deal with, the love that he shared. Can you
mm-hmm.
share it with somebody else? You see? And then not only that, is that there come a time when you shall drink some pure water, some good water, on the other side. And so I catch you when you say, should our water be muddied? Should it be salted? Or why it can't be fresh water? So,
well,
that's a good analogy.
At the same time, you know, these messages I'm preparing is for a revival. You know, we have
Amen.
To revive the people. And this is for the people that's in the church that sit down or, you know, keep the good news for themselves. And I think I said
mm-hmm.
this more on one occasion, Monday through Saturday. We don't know who they are on Sunday, which we are to assemble to praise and worship God. But it goes outside of the church. So
Amen.
As the song says, revive us again. So for those that are sitting there in the water system, because, you know, here in Florida, we have septic tanks in certain parts of the certain cities in Florida where we have our own wells, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want to drink the chlorine water, but we have wells and we have to put these solutions in the water to enable the water to be clean. So if you haven't cleaned out your septic tank, or, you know what I mean, if you don't clean out the tank, the water going to be smelling muddy. So to reverse that on a spiritual sense, you know, you mm-hmm. have the living water because you have accepted Christ. But then the water has become mm-hmm. tainted because you refuse, number one, to arm yourself or equip yourself with the armor of God. And number mm-hmm. two, it's the word that other people need.
Amen.
So
amen.
If the water is tainted or dirty, then you need to examine yourself, get the right chemicals to clean it out for yourself, number one, to cleanse, because you can't even lead anybody to Christ with a clouded mind or cloudy water. So mm-hmm. first you got to get stuff together, and then yeah, you can go on out. So these are this is one of the messages that I'm preparing, you know, for revival. So I believe that the people are is in a thirst for God. If you look in the other countries, you know what I mean, and that's a whole other discussion. They are looking for God, even though they're getting persecuted and killed. Okay. Right here at home, the people are looking for God, but then we have, quote-unquote, and this is another one, as I had got into a discussion with somebody the other day, you know, some of the, quote-unquote, elite preachers or some of the things any preachers have done, and you look at the news feed where preachers are infecting women with AIDS and they're sleeping with other men and kids, you know, and they make a mockery of religion.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to erase these things, you know what I mean? Because if you talk to somebody and the first thing they holler, and you know this for a fact, oh, man, I ain't coming to church because, number one, the people are full of it. Number two, if the pastor ain't right, they're going to have something to say about him. So we as disciples of Christ, we have to do our part, even though it might be a small part, but little as much of God is in it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
We have to do our part to get the gospel out.
Amen. I agree with you. I agree with you, Rum. You know, that means when you're talking about water, you know, when Jesus changed the water into wine, purified, because if you know the buckets they were using was called the buckets of the purifying. And, mm-hmm. and the thing is, they use them for feet washing, too. So, you know, when you wash feet, you got all that particles coming up in that water, up in them buckets. But when mm-hmm. Jesus gets to, in other words, when we want good, clean water, we go buy a purifier, don't we? We put mm-hmm. on that faucet to purify to get
right.
all them particles that's in there,
amen.
Right?
That's
so
right.
So when you go to, with Jesus, you are purified. And the thing is when you're purified, then there comes good, clean, wholesome water. That means your life should be demonstrating that which is of the purifying, that is of Christ. And so that others would have a desire to want to come in, as the Bible said, oh, taste and see. It ain't talking about just food. It ain't talking about just sweets. But oh, taste
mm-hmm.
and see how good the water of Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
See that God is good. So, yeah, that's a good one there, Doc. That's a good one.
That's going to be an awesome teaching.
Yes, it is. And I'll be praying that God will bless you in your revival, that someone come to Christ, and that someone be given some help and some hope to some hope, and that somebody come running asking, what must I do to be saved?
I'm excited about it because when is the revival going to be?
In September.
September, okay. So we have to wait that long before we can actually...
No. I'll have the message because I'll be preaching this in other places. I'm branching out on my own now. So,
oh, okay.
I'm prepared.
See, I don't want to wait that long to hear it because since you've already kind of, you know, given us this much, now you've piqued my curiosity and my interest and you know, I want to hear it. I want to know.
Amen.
Hear
it.
So you get excited about hearing the word of God.
I'll be ready
Amen.
For your money. You know, I pretty much gave you the basis, you know, of where I was going.
Okay.
With it, but there is more. There is more words I will add to it. But yeah, whenever you're ready for me to give it to you, hey, I don't discriminate.
All right.
Amen. God bless you there, minister. And everything. I pray
all
that
right.
God will use you come September. Amen. And whenever you preach, just let the word of God flow from your heart. That's all I'm saying.
All right. What I want to do is, I guess if I can, I was going to say I wanted to go ahead and I played this other commercial, but no, I'm going to let.
Oh, you can go here.
Okay.
Good. We almost getting finished anyway.
We almost there.
We almost.
You about to bring us home now.
I'm about to bring you home. I ain't gonna hoop, but we gonna bring you home.
All right, here
y'all,
we go.
That's why I didn't. That's why I got almost all deep off into Reverend's stuff there.
All right, here we go.
It's the Gigantic Gospel Concert 2013, featuring four of the biggest female gospel artists in the industry, like Pastor Shirley Caesar, Tamala Mann, Sunday's best Leandra Johnson, Kathy Taylor in favor, hosted by Kim Burrell and David Mann, a.k.a. Mr. Brown. Sunday, September 15th at the Bernard G. Johnson Coliseum on the campus of Sam Houston State University. For ticket info, call 877-291-1918. And don't miss Shirley C. and Tamala Mann.
All right, and now I'm going to play a song by Tamala Mann. Who will be on
that? All right. Amen.
This one is Speak, Lord. And I think sometime there we go.
Made a move once before on my own. It was wrong.
I feel
Lord, you know how.
right, that was Tamela Mann, and I am, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for the concert in September in Huntsville, Texas. I won't make the Dallas, Texas. But also, before we get back, we have about 15 minutes left in the show. Before we get back to discussions, tomorrow at 7 p.m., I will be interviewing a mother-daughter combo, World Rise Above. That's what they are called. And they have just been added to the Mega Fest in Dallas, which is August 29th and 31st. And that they were added to the conference. Well, the conference includes Bishop T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, Marvin Sapp, Smokey Norvell, some others. But this mother-daughter team has also been added to that. And I have an opportunity to interview them here on Faith-Based Purpose, and I'll be doing that at 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. So I just wanted to let everyone know that.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Now, we can get back to the discussions, and we're going to take another 15 minutes and kind of wrap up everything.
Amen. We just about there. Okay. So as we were saying that, in this segment of our lesson in chapter 7, 6 through 10, that Israel has already, led them into Jerusalem. He's just doing a recap of how they got started and all that they had did in order to get to where they are. And that I said that they left, and he just didn't do anything. They left at a precise time. A time that was appointed, understanding that God appoints a time. To everything, there's a time. To everything, there's a season. To everything, there's a purpose. So, and in our verse, in verse 9, it says, "For the gracious hand of God was on him." The one thing you always want to make sure in life, that God's hand is on you. You want to make sure that you are covered under God. Because life without God's hand on you, you're in a world of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it says, and Ezra, in verse 10, it says, and Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. He devoted his time. What is our devotional time to the Lord? What is it that we do? To fast and pray is asking God to give you a devoted knowledge, to give you the time. Many times we sometimes turn into watch Christians. We go to church and we look at how long at the time, how long we sit there. And then we go and study. A lot of times we sit there and we study and we got other things on our mind. And so it's saying that Ezra devoted himself to studying, observance of the law of God. We need to devote ourselves to studying the Word of God and observing His Word in our lives. So moving on to chapter 8, looking at here now is that in this part they have getting ready to prepare to leave. Now, remember, this is not chronological order. In the first part I read, they were already in Jerusalem. This part, they get ready to leave. So as they're getting ready to leave, look what Ezra does. It says that there by the Hava, the Ahava Canal, I have to read the IV because I had turned, Minister Jordan made me turn from my page over in the King James Version. In chapter 8, it says at verse 21, it says, then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might afflict That means that in verse 21 that we might be humble. In the NIV is saying that they might be, that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. And here you find that Israel gathers all the people that's going to travel, that multitude that's getting ready to travel. Everybody ready to go, everybody ready to get. Just like many times a lot of us eat our food and hadn't took the time to bless it, might choke on it. A lot of times we get ready to go to travel, we just go. We get up in the morning and go to work, we just go. But here, before they got ready to go, they gathered at one place. And they all gathered there, just like in the book of Acts, they gathered in one place. And he says, I proclaim a fast. He told them, fast. And that we might humble ourselves. Now, Sister Sugar, remember you just read that other verse over there when it talks about seeking God or something like that?
Uh-huh.
You may see me, you will seek me, but you won't find me.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of, there's some more verses that say the same thing. But if you go to the book of 2 Chronicles, this is what God says. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name,
mm-hmm.
shall humble themselves and pray,
mm-hmm.
a prayer should be a prayer of humbleness, and seek
mm-hmm.
my face, turn from their wicked ways, then
mm-hmm.
will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, wherever place you are, if it's coming from your heart and it's in humbleness, God don't just take any old prayer just because we start hollering and yelling and just doing it just because we feel like doing it. We're in a big old bunch of trouble. So now we want to, Lord, I need your help. No, he wanted out of humbleness. He wanted an earnest, humble prayer. He knows the heart of a man. And he wants your prayer to come from the heart, from the spirit. And so here he proclaims a fast. Because even Esther did it. Before you even get ready to go, he was proclaiming a fast that God will be their protection. Because why? The only thing that Xerxes gave them, he didn't send no armies, he didn't send no guards, he sent nothing but a letter. But how many of us obey? Let me put it like this here, Sister Sugar. We got a bunch of laws out there say don't do this, don't do that, or you're going to go to jail, or you might go to the electric chair or get executed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how many fools going to stand up there and break them laws? A whole bunch of them.
You know what, Reverend Williams, if you read the scripture that you just read, where when you said those who are called by my name, read that scripture again.
It said, if my people, which are called by my name,
mm-hmm.
shall humble themselves and pray.
Okay, well, stop right there. It says, humble themselves and pray. Okay, that's two things. And?
Seek his face.
Okay, that's three things.
And turn from that wicked way.
Okay, that's
four
things.
So, out of all that,
okay, now, the thing is with that is that a lot of, you know, I always say us when I'm talking because I don't want to leave myself out because I've been, a lot of us will do one of those things or,
mm-hmm.
you know, two of those things, but there's an and behind it. Each one of those, or in front of each one of those, which means there's a list of things that you have to do. And that's what I think a lot of people don't follow through on, the list of things.
Right.
So I think that, Yeah, and then that's the difference between what you were talking about with the law. The law saying don't do this or you go to jail. We got one thing: we not you don't get caught driving and drinking. So that's
right.
It. And driving
so
drunk. Don't get caught driving drunk. So that's that one thing. I'm not gonna get caught driving drunk. But with God,
you got things.
You got more than one thing you got to follow, and some people just don't want to follow all of it.
There
they
you
just
go.
Want to follow some of it.
So here you got Ezra and them getting ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So here you find that Ezra and them, they said, we pray to God, we humble ourselves for our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. So you know you getting ready to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes you think, you know, people ask me, how you doing today? I say, fine. Until. They say, what you mean until? When the devil shows up. Why you want to claim that? Because the Bible says when I'm trying to do good, evil is always present.
Mm-hmm.
And they were praying that evil wouldn't show up. Because now if when you go and read the rest of Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll find they left with a whole. This is not just children and family. The possession is a whole bunch of riches they left with. Okay? So you got thieves out there on that road. You got everything going. But they prayed to God for safety.
Mm-hmm.
Even though King Xerxes sent a letter. Okay? Now, if somebody, you read more as you read in the book of Esther, somebody put a hit out on the king. Crazy they was. Okay, they got killed, but they crazy as they was. Okay, but just because somebody, just because the president, the governor, the mayor, the police officer, the judge, just because they tell somebody don't go do this, they got the laws there, some fool gonna break it, ain't they?
That's right.
So you have to pray to God that that fool that's getting ready to break that law don't injure your life. You have to pray that when you get up in the morning, we think we safe just because we're at home, that some fool don't come in your house while you're there during the day and the night.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pray that your children be safe when they go to school. Pray that you everything be safe when you're on your way to work or when you're at work. Pray and fast and pray, asking God to protect you because you don't. When I caught my heart attack, I never thought that was going to happen to me that day. But
okay.
God teaching me that you pray as you get up and when you get ready to lay down.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to raise my hand. I've been guilty of all that. But God teaches us. So in verse 8, now understand that in chapter 8 and in verse 21, he says, we sought. Because even Esther, if you go to the book of Esther, because Nehemiah, Ezra, and Esther are the same, they coincide together. And even
okay.
Esther had to say the same thing. Esther had, they when they were getting ready to kill all her people, her uncle said, now go to the king. So here she says, when I like what the brother said, because I seen something he put up in here. He said, and the maiden pleased him. This is what Esther said. Esther said, I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. But before that, she said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. She didn't say just her and her maid. She said, everybody that's a Jew, everybody that is of Israel, your slaves, your conquerors, everybody, fast for me because I'm going on y'all behalf. Okay?
Okay, and we have 3 minutes left in the show.
I'm getting ready to cut it. I'm getting ready to cut it down right now. And
okay.
So the thing is, in verse 20, and when we look at verse 22, and we look at, for I was ashamed to require of the king. So in other words, he's saying, he was ashamed But it was he wasn't ashamed to go to the king. He was ashamed to ask God for his protection.
Okay.
And then going to go and ask the king to send some protection. And the thing is that why would you want to, we need to learn that if we're going to pray and ask God for whatever it is, take it to him and leave it there and trust that he's going to work it out. Because a lot of us, we ask God, but then we want to go work it out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's telling God that you don't trust him. And not only that, in the last part, he said, we was ashamed to require the king, a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon them for good, and that seek him, but his power and his wrath against all them that forsake him. In other words, he asked God, but if he would have went to the king and asked the king, he would have forsook the Lord. And he says his wrath is on those who forsake him. Israel forgot all about God. So now Israel is bringing them back to God and showing them how you worship God. When we go through life, we should fast and pray, because somewhere we have messed up and we have separated ourselves, but God never separated himself from us. We have failed with God. And the only thing the Lord wants us to know is that you should always have a reason to fast and a purpose. But prayer should always be in our lives. Because in verse 23, he said, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. When you have a heart for God, Sister Sugar, and when you want to live by God's word, and when we fast and pray and truly seek him, you can find him. The reason why he said in all that verse, you said, you shall seek me, but you won't find me, is because he was telling Peter and them, you have not gotten filled with the Holy Ghost yet. You don't have power yet. But soon you'll get the power. And Peter, you will find me, because you'll know how to pray and seek me, not just me, but seek the Father also. So if we do just what Jesus tells us, and if we do what God has instructed in our lives, and if we practice on worshiping him more than the creature, and practicing on worshiping the Creator, not the creature, but the Creator, not man, but the Creator, the one who created us, we will be a much better people and a much better servant and a person who is walking in the word of God. And I pray that somebody has been helped. Somebody's given some hope. I pray that somebody has learned something out of Ezra, and that is to serve God is to just keep on seeking. And I leave you with that, and I pray that everybody has been helped. Amen.
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 All right. And I do thank you for actually doing the entire show, because we wouldn't have been able to do that without you this afternoon. And I do thank Minister Melvin Jordan for joining us as well. Now, again, I want everyone to remember that I will be back tomorrow with...
Amen.
The mother and daughter team. No, their name, their title is World Rise Above, and they are they're going to come and talk to us about their music and the great works that they are doing. And again, they have been added to the conference from August that will be held August 29th through 31st in Dallas, which will also have on that conference, along with World Rise Above, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Pastor Joel Osteen, and Creflo Dollar, Marvin Sapp, and Smokey Norville, and some others. So it's going to be an honor to speak with someone with such status on faith-based purpose. This will be our first musical group that will be on here. and it will be an honor.
All right.
So we will
leave
you with that, and we will see you here tomorrow for that, and we will be back Monday at 6:30 for our regular program.
Amen. Amen. And it's the Williams going.
Yeah, Evangelist
Amen.
Williams will be back. Reverend Williams will be back, and Minister Jordan will be here. So we
Amen.
Expect to have a great time.
Amen. I hope everybody enjoyed this evening.
And I'm looking forward for the day that my brother, Pastor Frank Cheney, comes on and gives us a word. I spoke with
Amen.
Him about that last night, so I will be looking forward to that.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for all that God does. Amen.
All right, Reverend Williams.
Right.
Well, we're gonna end the show. And again, I thank you so much.
All righty. Y'all have a blessed night. And I pray that God bless each and every one of you all. And by the way, I want you to know that if anyone who's in the Houston area, I am at the Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church here in Houston, Texas. We're located at 3741 Coleman Street. The pastor is Reverend J.D. Dinkins, and he is the pastor. Our services are from our Sunday school starts at 9 a.m. Our worship service starts at 10:30, and you are welcome even on Wednesday nights. We start with 6:30 with prayer, and then we start with 7 o'clock with Bible study. So I'd like to invite all those who are around to come out and to share with us and to visit. And if by chance you find anything that is suiting to you, that you make Blessed Hope your home. But if not, we can share with you and instruct you to a place that you may feel comfortable. But we just want the love of God and the love of Christ to be able to flow within your life. As Minister Jordan said, that the water of life may flow through us and flow into you, that we can all be able to be filled. And I thank God for all that he's done. God bless you, Sister Sue.
All right, thank you. And good night to everyone. And
Amen.
I hope everyone
good
have
night.
A blessed night.
All right, take care.
No way. See, I decided.